Good morning from Ottawa, to Ottawa, and even beyond the borders of Ottawa. This morning, we are coming to you live in lieu of our regular Sunday morning service. We have decided to do what's called a dry run in case the weather gets bad or because of snow or because of ice, you know, things that you never think about. When I lived in Los Angeles a few years ago, we never had a dry run for a service just in case there was snow or ice. Nonetheless, I bring you greetings from the Ottawa Church. I trust that you've had a fantastic Christmas week as we celebrate the birth of our Lord and the incredible reason for the season that we celebrate Christmas. And prayerfully, the next few minutes will be of great encouragement to you. I trust that some of us maybe are gathering our children and getting them to sit down might be even a challenge in and of itself. But nonetheless, good morning, and I trust that you are having already a fantastic day. We want to spend a few minutes just to encourage you this morning. And this will be, like I said, a precursor for when we're planning a service for in case there is bad weather, and you'll have a time of encouragement and a time of devotional to set our hearts and our minds not only for the rest of the day, but perhaps some thoughts for the week. We are just so excited to be a part of a family here in Ottawa that we have certainly found God's favor in so many ways. We are excited about all the people that God has brought into our lives to be a part of the Ottawa Church, to be a part of the Ottawa family. We've seen families being united in Christ. We've seen relationships healed. We've seen a renewed vision for many, and for some, a continued vision to see as many as possible understand the saving message of Jesus Christ. I want to go through a little bit as we come to an end in 2019 to think about and have a time of reflection of what God has done in our midst. Who can forget the incredible amount of people that have surrendered their lives to Christ in the waters of baptism, some who have reconciled their hearts to God and have been brought in reconciliation in a saving relationship with Christ again. They have been restored in their hearts, and to see what God has done there is truly, truly remarkable. And we stand in awe of the power of God's ability to change people's lives. And when we will humble and submit ourselves to God, it's truly remarkable. So many fantastic times. We had a great Easter service, rather, where souls were baptized into Christ and people were restored to Christ. In the summertime, we had some outdoor services where we worshiped God in the morning and had a lot of great activities throughout the day. And to see what God did even with our Christmas party, as over 200 people joined us as we had a great banquet together, sort of a dry run, if you would, a rehearsal for what it will be like in heaven. And that indeed the kingdom of God is described as a great banquet. And we saw so many people come in. As a matter of fact, it's the first time we met in that facility and realized we couldn't meet there again because the place certainly would not be able to hold us for the future. And we're very, very excited about that. We're thrilled that the facility that we're meeting in really is a tight squeeze for us today because of the people that God has brought into our lives. And we look forward to finding a new facility. So stay tuned for that. And as we're looking diligently to be able to find a place that is going to be a great place for us to gather to worship God. I want to make it very, very clear. We will never have a service like this instead of gathering on a Sunday morning. There's nothing that replaces coming together, seeing each other's faces. You know, you can see mine right now, but I can't see yours. And certainly one of the highlights of my day on a Sunday morning is coming to see you, brothers and sisters, and fellowshipping you and talking with you and talking to you and really even giving you a hug. We can't hug each other over the internet. And so I'm really, really excited, on the other hand, to be able to use this avenue. I ask myself this question, how would Jesus use the internet today? And sometimes I am of the persuasion that he will use it incredibly, and sometimes I'm of the persuasion that he will use it sparingly. But I know whatever he does, it would be very, very, very effective. And we're excited about the next year. We're excited that one of the most amazing months that we're going to have next year, as we enter into our 25th year here in Ottawa, that the month of April, we will have four different services in four different areas, as all the congregation will gather in four different parts, be it in Gatineau, be it in Kanata, downtown Ottawa, and in Orleans, as we have a vision of where God will lead us in the next few years, as we have a vision for our communities, how we're going to be able to impact our communities. I look forward, certainly, some in the month of September, for us to have our 25th wedding anniversary in the Ottawa Church, and to talk about what God has done in 25 years, but perhaps even more importantly, what God will do in the next 3, 5, even 10 years in Ottawa, if we will let him work powerfully in our lives. You know, as we come to an end in 2019, I don't know exactly what kind of a year you've had, you know, given the fact that people come from varied backgrounds. I'm sure some of us had a fantastic year where we found much favor because of God, and that his blessings was abundantly poured out on us. Some of us maybe had a challenging year, maybe a year of refining, a year of purifying, a year of relying on God's strength and power in our lives. And some of us maybe are looking, saying, I can't wait for 2019 to be over. But this marks a time not only at the end of the year, it's also a year, an end of a decade, as we enter into 2020. And it's an opportunity, arbitrarily as all that it is, but it's as we enter to a new decade, maybe it's time for us to think about, what can God do with your life and with my life in the next year? What can God do with my life and with your life in the next 3, 5, 10 years? We who have been part of the Ottawa Church, seeing what God has done simply in 1 year, is simply unbelievable. Next year, we're going to talk about impact. That's going to be the theme for the year 2020, impact. And we'll spend the first few months talking about the idea of what its impact can be, what our impact can be on the city of Ottawa. You know, be it direct impact or even a ripple effect impact. And we'll unpack that and see how Jesus had direct impact on the people's lives that he had, and how there was a ripple effect of impact as he left with the disciples and they went on and really changed the known world at that time. And so we'll talk about how we can imitate that and to have our lives of intentionality, that we want to have an impact on people's lives, be it the poor among us, be it changing people's eternal address, be it changing people's lives who are in difficult situations, maybe in abusive situations or very challenging situations emotionally, physically, even spiritually. And so we are very, very excited about 2020, and we pray that you will join us in that endeavor, and or you find a place where you can truly have an impact on people's lives in the year 2020. And so I just want to use the next few minutes here to talk a little bit about God and reflect on the incredible, incredible God that we serve. And in order for us to do that, you know, Psalm 8 is a great passage of reflection. As a matter of fact, it's not hard to conclude that this was a reflective psalm that David wrote. And this is what it says. And as a matter of fact, you'll see the words that he says. It's a time of reflection. And maybe it'll inspire you to truly have a time of reflection, because this time of the year can become so cumbersome with the busyness and all that we're trying to accomplish, and even the fact that the kids are home and we're trying to have stuff done with them, make sure that they're having a good time, make sure their time's well occupied, their time's off school, maybe they're visiting in from other cities or what have you. But it can be a challenging time for us to reflect. Hopefully, this is going to inspire you to do that. All of us need times of reflection. I know I do. In order for me to get revived in my faith, to get refreshed in my energy, to be able to serve the Lord, because He really deserves all of our energy and our time and all that we have. And this is what it says in the book of Psalm, in Psalm 8. Lord, our Lord, how majestic is your name in all the earth. You have set your glory in the heavens. Through the praise of children and infants, you have established a stronghold against your enemies to silence the foe and the avenger. And this is a reflective part that I was talking about, what I believe David was having. He says this, when I consider, there's times for us to consider things in our lives, times to have reflection. When I consider your heavens, the work of your fingers, the moon and the stars, which you have set in place, what is mankind that you're mindful of them? Human beings that you care for them. Verse 9, Lord, our Lord, how majestic is your name in all the earth. Times of reflection on who God is. I don't know about you, but what it does for me when I'm in the right mind and in the right place, I realize how incredibly powerful, great, and awesome God truly is. That the heavens declare His glory. The praise of children and infants, He is worthy of them. That He's majestic in His name in all the earth. And that the heavens, the moon and the stars and the have been set in place simply with the work of His fingers. He didn't even need all His might to be able to set the universe in its place. That's the powerful God that we serve. And to realize that the sun is the exact distance from the earth so that it can give energy to the earth and give what it needs, enough warmth, and so that earth is an inhabitable place. And to realize the beauty and the majesty and that is out there in the universe. And that God just used His fingers to create this. That speaks about power. That speaks about His incredible greatness and awesomeness. And then David asks the question, something perhaps that he has difficulty to fathom. And that is this, we who are frail and weak and so sinful and have done things and have shaken our fist at this God sometimes in rebellion. We who have nothing to offer God, that's what the Bible says, that God does not live in temple built by human hands, and He's not served by human hands as if He needed anything. But he himself gives all men life and breath and everything else. And yet this very God that we serve, this very God that is in place, is mindful of you and is mindful of me. Not only is he mindful, not only is he saying, the scripture is saying is that we are on his mind, that he comes, that there is a thought about us that goes through his mind, but that he cares for us. That's what it says. That he is mindful and he cares for us. And of course, we know the ultimate care was shown in the fact when he sent his son to die for us and to take care of the fact that we are sinners in need of redemption, in need of the fact that we need to be ransomed because of the fact that we have rebelled against this God. And in spite of this fact that we have nothing to offer him, in spite of the fact that we have disobeyed him, in spite of the fact that we have turned our back against him at times or shaken our fist at him, he's still mindful and he cares for us. And I know there are times in our lives when it's difficult to really, really understand and appreciate that. At times it's difficult to realize when we're going through some really tough times, maybe sickness to a small child in our family, or maybe death of a close one or a loved one, especially when we think that maybe it was not their time. Maybe it's when we unfairly lost our job and we're wondering, does God really care for us? Is he really mindful of us? You know, I'm not of the persuasion, I don't think the Bible teaches at all, that we are, that God is the cosmic bellhop and he's there for simply for our benefit. And that whenever we need something, we just ring the bell and he just comes. I don't believe that's what the scripture talks about when it talks about a relationship with God. But do not be misled. Our God is mindful of us. He cares for us. And he's never lost control in any of the situations that we're in. It's easy to say that when things are going well. At least we think that they're going well. And that we are receiving blessings after blessings. But one of the things that we need to be mindful of and to be sure of is that the scripture teaches unequivocally that God is mindful of us and he cares for us all the time. Not just a few times, but literally all the time. And that's the majesty of our God. I'm so grateful that God is not mindful of me or care for me based on what I've done, based on how good I am or how long I've spent reading the scriptures or how much service I give to the poor or the less advantaged in our lives. But God, in his nature, simply in his nature, cares and is mindful for us. And so as we wrap up this year and as we wrap up this decade in our lives, my challenge to you is to open up our eyes and to see indeed that the God who is in us is stronger than he who is in the world. That if he can be for us, who can be against us? And that we are incredibly aware of the moment by moment of God's mindfulness and care for us as we go about our lives. In a couple of days, you are going to celebrate, and I'm going to celebrate, the beginning of a new time. You know what the Bible says? The Lord's mercy I knew every single morning. That's how faithful he is. Great is God's faithfulness, that his mercies are renewed every single morning. As we think about 2020, as we think about the vision that God has for our lives with a 2020 mindset, and to think about planning together and praying together and scheming together how we can be worthy vessels in order to have an impact in 2020. You know, we'll talk a little bit more about this, but can you imagine? Just imagine with me for a moment that this God who created the heavens with merely his finger, can you imagine that we become vessels that God will use, that powerful God, to impact one person in 2020. Maybe there's someone who is in an abusive situation that you want to impact them and encourage them for the year 2020. Maybe there's someone who needs some help materially. Maybe they're suffering because they lost a job and you'll be able to help them. One person. Maybe there's a family member who's living with a secret and a story that they're afraid to tell someone. And you'll be able to free them from that prison that they've been a part of. Maybe there are people who do not know about our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ and how he's impacted your life, and how he can have an impact on their lives as well. You know, Jesus had an impact on people, be it when he healed them immediately, or when he had an impact on changing their lives as he rescued them. You know, oftentimes when Jesus healed the leper, as we read about in the book of Mark, not only did he heal them of leprosy, but the loneliness and the segregation for society, it was not merely by the fact that they were healed of leprosy, but he brought them back into society. And the ripple effect of one moment in their lives was felt for many years to come. And that's what I want to even put in your mind at this point in time as we think about 2020. Can you think of that person? Or maybe that person's not yet come into your life. I know we've had a number of people that have come into our lives now that we never even dreamed that we will have an impact on in 2019, and yet God brought them into our lives. And so with intentionality, with the power of God at the back of us, pushing us, inspiring us, motivating us, the one who created the heavens simply by speaking into existence, simply by one finger of his, I have no doubt that he wants us to have an impact on people. What vision has God has placed in your mind and in your heart for 2020? Who are you going to impact? Who am I going to impact? Maybe there's a fellow disciple that is struggling in their faith that you truly want to have an impact on. I don't know. And maybe there are some areas that I even haven't even mentioned. And so I want to ask you, in this time of reflection, as we close out 2019 and head in to 2020, with clear vision from God, and in humility, ask the question, God, who am I that you're mindful of me? Not because we have so low self-esteem, because we understand we hold him in the highest regard. And on a relative sense, we are certainly people who should not be in the minds of such a powerful God. And so, thank you for giving me your ear, hopefully some of your mind, in the last few minutes. And this will serve as a time, of course, of in the future when we have maybe a snow out or an ice out, and we'll give you information on how we're going to communicate and encourage you on a certain day. And I trust that this day you have already been encouraged, and you will be an encouragement to others, be it your spouse, be it your sibling, maybe even your children. And so I am grateful, I'm humbled that this mighty God thinks about me, this mighty God thinks about you. Let us in humility acknowledge the power and have a fantastic day. My name is Tony, and I look forward to seeing you next Sunday at Sandy Hill Community Center. We start our service at 10:30. We'll have coffee and cocoa and all that kind of good stuff as we embark on 2020. See you then.